the bellies in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly red blue lights flash us from behind, loud voice booming.
What is up, NFP Nation? This is Wes Bunning, the Director of College Scouting here with the National Football Post, joined once again by my partner in crime, Greg Gabriel, the former Director of College Scouting with the Chicago Bears. Greg, we're done with college football season. How does it feel?
Well, we're not done. We got All-Star games coming up.
Well, I mean with the real season.
The real season. Hey, the right team won.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, are you going to go out and say that you were a little surprised it was as close as it was?
Yeah, no, it was a hell of a football game.
It was a good football
game. And it was a very physical football game, very violent game.
Yeah, and I think when you have 30 days to hear how good the opposing offense is, that really doesn't sit well with opposing defenders. And they came out, they were pretty angry, both sides of the football, from the first snap. And I think 30 days to hear about how great Cam Newton is and how dynamic that Oregon Ducks offense was played a lot into the minds of why these defenses were able to play at such a high level for four quarters.
The over-under, I think, was 72 or something like that for the game. They got demolished.
Wow. Did you put any money down?
No.
No.
I'm not a bettor.
You're not? Okay. Just checking. So we're going to talk today about the national title game, some guys that stuck out to us. Well, we're going to talk about the big two as well as Casey Matthews. But first, we want to start off with Arkansas quarterback Ryan Mallett, the 6'7", rocket arm quarterback declared, put his name in draft eligible last week, I believe. We've talked about Mallett a couple times. I wrote about him earlier in the year. Greg, did you see anything in that Ohio State game that made you, I know your answer to this, but made you think any differently of big old Ryan Mallett?
Well, you know, they changed their offense for that game. Now, I didn't see any of their last couple games, but early in the year, they were strictly a shotgun team or a spread team, and I'm going to say 80% of that game he was under center. And I don't know, like I said, I didn't see their last couple games, so I don't know if they were doing it towards the end of the season, but that was the first thing that stuck out. So he was having to take the snap from under center and drop back. Now, what I saw in that was that he's not a real quick setup guy. I thought some of his throws were better, though. His ball placement was a little better. There were some really bad throws that we've talked about before, but his both touchdown passes were outstanding throws. The lob passes, one to the right side, one to the left side, were outstanding throws. The touch was very good. I think he had six passes dropped. A couple times he could have put a little touch on the ball, and they would have been completed. He tried to fire in some short passes. But overall, I thought he played actually a little bit better. The interception at the end was a horrible throw. He had two other passes that very easily could have been intercepted. So we saw a lot of the same things, but I was glad to see him play in a more pro-style attack than I've seen him play before.
Yeah, I thought talking about him taking snaps from under center, you can see that the guy is somewhat comfortable working off play action. He can get away from center because of those big strides at times. He's not real quick to set when he's got to settle his feet, but when he's able to work off play action, step up into throws, you see some of these mirage throws, as I like to call them. You almost get blinded by some of his throws because he can make some throws, Greg, that make you shake your head, and there's not too many quarterbacks that can stick the ball into the tight areas like he can. So you talked about some of the good touch throws down the field, dropping them into the bucket, but at the same time, it's consistently, if you make this guy move his feet or reset his feet in the pocket at all, especially when he has to look for a secondary receiver, that's where his ball placement and his accuracy is really brutal at times. As so many times they were talking about receivers dropping footballs, and granted, a bunch of them they should have made plays on, but if his ball placement is a little better and they don't have to consistently adjust so much to some of the throws, I think he has a much better chance of completing some of those throws on all areas of the field, and that's the big thing that stuck out to me. If you make this big guy move his feet at all, his accuracy goes kaput, and you know he struggles to move the chains consistently.
Well, I agree with what you're saying, that if he has to move his feet, the accuracy goes kaput. He has a hard time avoiding the rush. He got sacked, I think, what, four times?
Yeah, it was a bunch.
And really doesn't show a lot of ability to avoid the rush and to improvise when he has to face a rush. Same time, I think out of the six drops, only one, the placement was really, say, out of whack. You know, where, but the other ones, some of them were really good throws. They were just flat out dropped. And there was one or two where I think he might have just shown a little better touch and taken something off. There was one underneath crossing route, might have been in the, in fact, it was in the fourth quarter. It was before they punted, and then, you know, where the punt, or rather, they didn't get anything on this drive. And then on the Ohio State got the ball, and then Ohio State had the ball. The punt blocked and Arkansas got the ball back, but he threw about a 7 or 8 yard pass, you know, just to the right side, and he really gunned it in, and the guy really had no chance to catch it. You know, mm-hmm. It was like a bullet coming at him. That should have been more of a touch pass. But overall, I like some of the things I saw. He's still some of the things that he does wrong. He's the long strider when he has to release the ball. He's very deliberate. Throwing, he doesn't have a very quick delivery. He kind of, you know, has a long windup. Some of those problems are the same problems Byron Leftwich had when he came out, and he's going to have the same problems when he gets up to our level.
No, I agree. I'm not big on Mallett. You know that he scares me as a guy. But if we're looking at him and his skill set right now, in my opinion, this is a guy that in order to be successful, and I talked about this earlier in the year. You can't judge him based off his completion percentage in the NFL because I don't think he's ever going to be a guy that's going to complete 60% of his passes. I think he's a guy you have to judge his ability to create big plays in the pass game with limiting the turnovers at the same time. So if he gets in a scheme where he can consistently work off play action, chuck the football down the field, you know, complete around 55, 53% of his passes, but complete those big plays and hit some big strikes in the pass game, I think that's where he has the best chance to be successful. At the same time, I still have reservations even in that area because at times defenders are going to win. You're going to have to move your feet. You're going to have to find a secondary target, and you have to stride towards your target in order to be as accurate as possible. And when he's not able to stride toward his target and his feet are facing a wrong direction, he's just throwing with his arm, you see that ball placement and accuracy really struggle.
Yeah, and the one thing I'm certain of is that when he gets up to the NFL, he's going to have a good line,
because yeah,
if he has a weak line and he's forced to move around, he's going to be in trouble. You know, Peyton Manning is a big guy, not quite as tall as this guy, but Peyton Manning's got great feet,
yeah,
and he can move around and he has a feel. This guy doesn't have the feel for the rush, and I'm not going to say he has cement feet, but he doesn't have very good feet.
Yeah, and you can talk Manning 6'5", but much more compact and balanced with his footwork as opposed to a guy like Mallett, which I was talking about Gabbert earlier, same kind of thing. But moving on from Ryan Mallett, we're going to touch on the national championship game. Nasty, hotly contested one, goes down. It was pretty cool to have it go down to the final play last night, even though it was a chip shot field goal. But we'll start with the Heisman Trophy winner, Cam Newton. 30 days off seemed to affect his game to a point. He looked a little rusty last night, Greg.
Yeah, first quarter wasn't real good. But part of that was the Oregon defense. And you know, we could say the same thing about the Oregon offense. They didn't do a whole lot. So, you know, was it really 30 days off, or was it the pressure that the defense was putting on them? Both defenses played really, really well in that game. But Newton settled down. He made some big throws. Now, he's another guy. He's a big guy. He's, you know, 6'6", but he's so much more athletic than Mallett. He doesn't have great speed. He's probably going to be a 4.75, 4.8 guy. But he's got real quick feet, and he's got a great feel for the rush and to get out of the way of the rush. And then he throws well when he's on the run.
Yeah, and I think another thing is he may be a 4.8 guy over 40, but he accelerates extremely well for a big guy, which is something that really impresses me, and especially when he was trying to find his rhythm early, when they allowed him to get outside the pocket and throw on the run. I mean, he's got a strong arm, but he generates a lot of torque from his lower half on the move as well. Some of those throws, when he completes it across his body, I mean, it's effortless with his ability to do so. I thought, though, for the first time, we saw him get a bit rattled yesterday, Greg, especially when he had to especially identify that mic at times when all those everyone was standing up on the Oregon defense. And I don't think he trusted what he saw completely at times. And when you look back, he's only played 14 games at the 1A level. The guy still has a lot of maturing mentally to do. He's going to get better. But at times we saw a guy that was a bit confused by coverages, wanted to trust his feet too much at times, and which caused his eye level to go down pretty quickly and not be able to find some of those secondary options.
Well, that's the inexperience. And that's, you know, what's going to hurt him. If he decides to come out, he just hasn't played a lot of football at a major level. But even though I say that, he was able to make adjustments, and he had a pretty good second half. In fact, after the first quarter, he played pretty good.
Second quarter.
So he came on, and both of these teams are good football teams. So, you know, and they played well. I mean, it was an ideal national championship game, came down to the last play. If he dominated the game, then Oregon shouldn't have been in it.
Yeah.
But, you know, it was a well-played game, very, very physical game, and I think he did some good things. I mean, the question marks he has, he's going to have those no matter what. That's the lack of experience. And as I've said, and I've said to other people too, until you really find out about his work habits, his intelligence, check into the character and all those things. I mean, those are things that are really important for a quarterback, the intangibles. I mean, you know, you're not going to know what you're buying. And between now and the draft, if he decides to come out, the teams involved, the teams that are interested, will do all that work.
Yeah, and I talked about this earlier in the week. You know, physically on the field, you know, the guys can go as high as he wants to in the draft. I think he has some of that on-field character that you like. It's the off-field stuff. Will he win for you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday? That ultimately determines not only how high he's going to end up going, but how successful in the NFL he can end up being.
Well, he had issues at Florida. There was the issues with his family and Mississippi State. You know, how much of that is he going to bring to the NFL? You have to have the answer to that before you can pull the trigger. Otherwise, you're gambling. I think it's going to be a gamble no matter what. I like his talent. I don't think he's ready to play. He really needs another year, but he'll probably come out. We'll know that. We have to know that this week. The declaration day, the final day you can declare is the end of this week. So he's going to be a work in progress. I don't think he may be forced to be on the field depending on the team that takes him, but he's not really going to be ready to play and be a winning quarterback. It's going to take a while. Yeah. It'll be a work in progress.
Yeah, but it's a nice piece of clay to work with. It's not like you're working with a poor athlete by any stretch. This guy can develop. It's just, does he want to? Next guy we're going to talk about, Greg, is Nick Fairley. Three tackles for loss last night, one sack. Man was pretty much unblockable inside throughout most of the night. What'd you give his performance?
He may be the first pick now. I mean, this guy's a hell of a player, and every time I watch him, I like him a little bit more than I did the time before. Very aggressive physical player, very powerful. He's got nasty in his play. I like that in a defensive lineman. He's athletic. He can play anywhere in the front in any scheme. So you have a lot of flexibility with him. You know, it's not going to be a 4-3 team or a 3-4 team. Anybody can take this guy. Interesting player and a very, very good player. And I'll tell you, when the game means something, he plays real good.
Yeah. I thought, you know, you can talk about a sack. You can talk about the tackles for a loss, but that fourth and goal in the third quarter where he's got to slide down the line, hold the point of attack, and pretty much closes the gaps all around him. I mean, I thought that was the big play. You know, someone else made the tackle, but he was right there in the middle of it, and he wasn't getting moved. The biggest question with Fairley at this stage that I have, Greg, is if you take this, and he's an incredible talent. He deserves to be in the consideration for the number one overall pick. Do you have any reservations taking this guy at number one overall, considering there's only been 1 year of not only elite production, but pretty much production overall? Does that play
well,
a concern?
Well, he had
all
production. He had production last year, but he's more of a rotational player and didn't get a lot. But no, it's not going to be because he, first of all, played in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Every week is a battle.
Yeah.
And you're playing against top competition. He played, there was a couple games, I don't know, the one game we looked at, what was it, the Mississippi game, I think it was,
yeah,
early in the year. I mean, he took some plays off. But, you know, part of that comes with the territory with when he wants to play, you ain't blocking him. I mean, that guy's a football player.
Yeah, and he can play three downs. And the thing that I really like, Greg, is that I touched on earlier, is I think he does a nice job finding the football. There's a lot of talented guys that can beat blocks, but he seems to pretty quickly read and react to the play and put himself in position to make plays, which is key, especially for an interior defensive lineman to always have a nose for that football. Last guy we want to touch on, and this is someone who I'm interested to get your opinion on. I'm not a big fan of Casey Matthews, to be honest, Greg. I think there's a spot in the league for him, but people are hyping him up to be one of the top inside linebackers in the country. I thought he had two plays last night, the big strip on Cam Newton. He also came up with that pass breakup, but I just think he's a tough, hardworking kid, a typical overachiever, but athletically I have some reservations about the kid, and I don't think he's that great of a tackler.
Well, I like him a little better than you do. Now, I haven't studied him.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the one game. He made some plays. It was a big game, and he played well. Mm-hmm. He made big plays in a big game. So, number one, that's a big positive. It wasn't a guy that failed to show up in a big game. In some people's eyes, he's going to be rated a little higher because of who his brother is. You're thinking that, no, you might be getting a clone of the brother. You're not getting a clone of the brother.
No.
But the genes are pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The dad played. The brother played. They were good. The dad played for a long time now. And the brother is an outstanding player. For Green Bay, this guy's I think he's a good inside linebacker. He's not as athletic as his brother, but he has a high motor, and he can be aggressive. I'd have to study him more to see, you know, the little nuances of the game, how he gets off of blocks consistently, etc. That I don't know because I haven't watched enough. But from what I saw last night, I liked.
Yeah, and if you saw, you know, some of the highlights, he's going to make some plays, and they talk him up. He's got the bloodlines, the long hair gone. You know, when I watch him, I've seen him a little more than you have, Greg. You know, I don't think he's overly physical at the point of attack when people get out to him. I think he can be washed out pretty cleanly. I don't think he takes the greatest of angles when asked to close in pursuit. There was a number of times where he had a chance to make tackles last night, not only on Cam Newton, but on Dyer, on Fannin, and he wasn't able to do that. And I don't think he's real fluid in coverage either. I think he's decently balanced, and he does a better, puts himself in position to make more plays because he can find the football. But it's those four things that, you know, when I add up, I just had some reservations. Now, I did make some.
Well, you're going to see when he gets into the league that a lot of times on third down or second on the line. He's not going to be in the game.
Yeah, and that's he's usually off the field on third downs against Oregon, but with their threat to – or for Oregon, but with their threat to run last night, and they didn't want to go to many nickel situations, he was consistently on it.
No, but he's got some flaws.
Yeah.
There isn't a player in any draft that doesn't have some flaws. You know, is he going to be real high? I mean, if you get this guy in the middle of the draft, you got yourself a pretty good football player. Now, obviously, I haven't seen a lot. I'd want to see more. I'd want to see three or four more games. I want to see how he works out, you know, what kind of athleticism he has. when he's just running around in shorts to compare with other guys. But, you know, I think he's got good instincts. I think he's aggressive. And he made plays. And I like playmakers.
Yeah. Well, anything else you want to touch on, Greg?
No, I'm just happy to see that my good friend Ron Rivera got a head job.
Can you talk? Do you have any Ron Rivera stories you want to say anything
any
about?
Great story. He's just going to be an outstanding coach. He should have been a head coach a long time ago.
What are his best attributes?
He's got great people skills. He's a great motivator. He's a great leader. He's very, very intelligent. He teaches very, very well. I don't have any negatives on him.
Really?
You know, I work with him for 3 or 4 years. I've always been high on him. A lot of times he got hurt because interview situation because he was late to be interviewed because his teams were in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of time, you know, this year they didn't get in the playoffs and he was an early interview and he got a job right away. You know, so he's going to do a good job. Obviously, they're shorthanded personnel-wise in Carolina. He's going to have to get some more players. Anxious to see what kind of staff he puts together, but not a doubt in my mind, he's going to be an outstanding coach.
And two things I've heard about him, and you say yes or no to this. I've heard that there's very little ego attached to him. Is that true? Which is a good thing. Yeah, he's able to.
Yeah. Let me say this. First of all, he's worked with good people. When mm-hmm. he was a player, it was under Buddy Ryan for a little while, for part of the career, Mike Ditka. He was a good player on good teams in Chicago. He coached, his first coaching job was under Dick Geron, but then he Johnson was a defensive coordinator, was a great defensive coordinator. He learned a lot from Jimmy, got his first coordinator's job here in Chicago, did an outstanding job. We went to the Super Bowl. It was a mistake, Lovey getting rid of him. You know, mm-hmm. there was problems between the two of them. That's, that's fine. But the good thing is now he goes out to San Diego. In fact, he had the job. It tells you something about Ron Rivera. He got informed about 1 o'clock that his contract wasn't going to be renewed in Chicago. By 2:30, he had the job in San Diego.
Really?
And I'm not exaggerating at all. Before he left the building, he had the job.
Wow.
And he goes out to San Diego as a linebacker coach, never coached, played, or been in a 3-4 scheme, always been in a 4-3, and learns that scheme. A year later, he's named the coordinator and makes that defense the number one defense in football. Now, that tells you something about him because he was able to adapt.
Yeah.
And now he's coached both. He's coached the 3-4. He's coached the 4-3. So he knows and understands both schemes very, very well. And that's going to help him be a head coach.
Yeah, and that's what kind of I was touching on. The 3-4 he's playing in San Diego, that's a lot different than the cover 2, what they use in Chicago. And for him to be successful in both situations, I think speaks highly of him. And plus he brings that toughness. I think that's what Carolina, not taking any shots at John Fox, but if you're going to bring a new guy in, they need to be ready to put the work gloves on and get after it every day. And I think he brings that kind of mental toughness that it'll be good for him initially. I think it'll be good for Carolina.
I'd be good. And John Fox is a good friend, too. And I worked with John for a long time in New York. So,
mm-hmm.
There was things going on there that were out of his control that, had to be remedied. Sometimes it's time to make a change. They made a change. He'll end up somewhere else. Wouldn't shock me if he ends up being the head coach in Denver. And, he'll get a new lease on life. And Ron's got, a tough job ahead of him in Carolina. They got to get some more good players, but he's a hell of a coach.
Yeah. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this week for Scout Talk. We ask you to join us back next week, 7 o'clock, where Greg and I will be coming live from the East-West Shrine game, if I haven't driven Greg completely up a wall by then. But for Greg Gabriel, I'm Wes Bonning. We hope you tune in next week, and thanks for listening.
Brother Bellas in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly, red blue lights flash us from behind. Loud voice booming, please step out onto the line. Ballet Bridgeway's a comfort, Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades, is that a Chevy 69? How bizarre. How bizarre, how bizarre. Destination unknown as we pulling for some gas. Officially placed a poster, reveals a smile from the pack. Elephants and acrobats, lions, snakes, monkey. Village speaks righteous, Sister Cena says funky. How bizarre.